Thank you, Jen Wolf. Thank you so much. Hey, I got two announcements on this Monday. First of all, we have the Danforth Lecture Series happening today. The speaker is going to be Dr. Ellen Davis. It's at 4 o'clock today at Winans Auditorium. You'll want to check this out. Second announcement, on Wednesday, 6:30, the Faith and Film Series is called Thin, and it's going to be showed at the Freed Hemingway Auditorium as well, too, if you want to check that out. We've been in this series with our covenant partners the last 2 weeks. Last week, we had three of our covenant partners speak, and this is our second week. And today, we have Angel Lopez, who's one of the pastors at Third Reformed Church here in Holland. And we are going to continue in the letters to from Peter. And Katie, can I have you grab this thing? Yeah. I want you to lift it. Ooh, I love it. Double. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. She was not prepared for that. Will you welcome Angel Lopez? Thank you.
Peace be with you. I feel young among you. You make me feel 20 years old, younger. Pray with me. Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos y en todo lugar, te pedimos que tu presencia esté en este lugar. Dear Jesus, Holy Spirit, come with us and teach us something that we don't know or something that we need to be reminded. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hope College, who are you? Who am I? Who are we? Hope College, who are you in Christ Jesus? Who am I in Christ Jesus? Who are we in Christ Jesus? Here's the word of the Lord. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 19 says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fear or ordeal that is taking place among you to test you as something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's suffering, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are revealed by the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet, if any of you suffer as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to the faithful Creator while continuing to do good. This is the word of the Lord. Please imagine with me a place where people from all over the world are coming to this place, to this nation, to this city. Imagine that. People from different color, people from different languages. They are bringing their families, they are bringing the elders, their children, but also they're bringing their gods, the little gods, the big gods. Everybody is coming to that place. This, in the letter of the First Peter, is the place where this conversation begins. Usually the young are the ones who are wondering their question to the elders. And here, in this letter, the young Christian are asking to the elders, what are we supposed to do with this Christ? Tell us, what should we do in this place, in this society, with this Christ? This is a serious question. I don't know what you think, but every time I cross a border, I check in myself, check my identity, check my pocket. I have my passport. I have my money. I have everything that I need to prove that who I am. It's like an outfit watching in a mirror. Is this good? Does it say that I am who I am? Oh, let's change it. That color doesn't go with my skin color. But at the end, I said, I make sure that this body say made in Mexico. You see, we live in the tension, or at least that's what I see. We live in the tension of who we are and what the people say we are. I live in the tension, and probably you live in the tension of what you think you are and what the people are saying of who you are. Maybe it's easy for me. I don't know. But this is a short story. When I'm in the United States, people will say, hey, there's a Mexican here. Sometimes friends of mine, they joke around and make Mexican jokes. Some say that I am undocumented. And some others say that I'm illegal. Depend on where I am and what clothes I wear. It is funny because when I walk in Surrey or Vancouver, Canada, people say, hey, there's a Filipino there. Oh, wow. And they approach to me, they touch me, and they say, in their own language, maybe Tagalog, and they say, Filipino, and that's the only word I understand. And I say, no, I'm Mexican. I'm very proud of that. And then I go to Mexico. And in Mexico, my friend and my neighborhood, they say, you're too American. You're not a Mexican. You see, our identity is fragile. It's moldable. It's breakable. It's like a wave in the ocean. It goes there, it goes there, back and forth. It's like a river. I grew up in the jungle, so the river is amazing. It goes and goes down, down, down. It moves and goes to a mountains and fall down, and they go deep or they go shallow. That's how I see our identity, or my identity. And at the end, this is weak. It's a weak identity. It doesn't say that I am a Christian. It doesn't say that I believe in this Jesus that was crucified and shed his blood for me. It doesn't say that he died for me and for you. That's what makes this identity weak. I am a message. You are a message. Each one of you are a message. The tricky question here, would you hide in your own identity, or would you have this new identity in Christ and you accept it and be completed? That's the question. Jesus, I have to tell you, is transcendental. Jesus is very simple and divine, complicated and inhuman for others. See, this Christ is dying in the cross. That's inhuman. We are representing a Jesus. We are not representing a country, a land, nothing like that. We are not representing a white, a black, a brown, a red God, a small God. We are representing an invisible. Our faith is an invisible God. Amen? First Peter is saying that rejoice when people accuse you of being Christian. Peter is not saying that suffering in itself is the end of the message. No. It says the result of that suffering is that which speak and tells loudly and reveal a message. People are changed and are transformed by your testimony, by my testimony, by Christ. The elders, in 1 Peter is saying, the elders are very practical. And the young needs an answer that it's practical. And the elders understand that and they give that answer. And they said, you must live and you must die as Christ, like Christ. You must wear Jesus as the police wear his badge or her badge, or as a tattoo that's in your arm. When you see Jesus in the action of a Christian, people are amazed. Why do you do that? Why you act like that? Why are you dying for your friends? Doesn't make any sense. Who are you? Who are you? The elders are saying to the young Christian, people are watching you. People are watching you 24/7, every hour, every minute, every second. When you go to church, when you go to school, when you go to a party, when you go to home, people are sensing, hoping, wondering if you are a good person, if you're good. It's a bit more complicated than being a Mexican or American or Canadian or any identity that you might have. You are a message without words, and you are very loud. Here's the question for you. Could you live and die like Christ in this world, in this nation, in this city? That's for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace and praise the Lord.